We're going to, you may or may not remember, all of my ministry this year has been using the Psalms to teach us a few things, and I'm going to continue with that, but do something slightly different. I'm going to just look at a psalm very briefly, and then let that psalm and a couple of words of that psalm take us into another part of the Bible, and to see what else we may be able to learn. I had the privilege a couple of weeks, 2 or 3 weeks ago, the pastor of my own church was away in France. I worry about how pastors can afford the south of France, but never mind, that's another story. Sadly, there was a bereavement in the church, and so I had the privilege of taking quite a large funeral in the church. And the lady, 95 years of age, devout Christian, and had been for a large part of her life, had left some instructions for her service, some written instructions about what songs to sing and all that sort of stuff, which was wonderful. It's lovely to have that continuity, that this is what the person desired. And then there was a sort of an informal instruction through one of her family who had met. And the lady, who 95 years of age, said, she'd written it down, scribbled it down, said to the family, a large part of you lot, referring to her family, a large part of you lot don't know Jesus Christ. And she left instructions that whoever took the service was to say it the way it is, sock it to them, and don't leave anything out. It was a lovely privilege. It learned me something, though. It learned me something that I've been reminded of over the years in ministry, to not overcomplicate things. We can overcomplicate life a lot in our Christian way. It learned me a lot about the language that we use. We overdo it sometimes. We say things, they pop out ever so easy. And to the unchurched, to those that are seeking, to those that don't know Jesus Christ, who are rebelling against Jesus or don't know anything about Jesus, it can put people off. And so it sort of reminded me that we, not basics as it were, but just to, as we look at God's word, as we worship, just to just keep it a little bit more simple. So you can't get much simpler, I guess. I'm going to use Psalm 100 just to set us off. Or a line from a few words from one, Psalm 100, just to get us going. In verse 1, we read these words of Psalm 100. I'm using the NIV, but whatever you may be using, so I'm sure the message is much the same. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth, and worship the Lord with gladness. And I just focused on those words, worship the Lord with gladness, this invitation to joyfully enter into God's presence. And I looked at those words, worship the Lord with gladness, three words there that sometimes perhaps we are a bit complacent about. Worship the Lord, one word or two, and gladness. And I think it's important as we set off on this journey, we're going to take those words with us into the book of Romans, the letter that Paul wrote to the church at Rome, to worship. We've been here tonight singing or doing our best to let rip with whatever we've got. We've been praying and we've been here, and that in the prayers before we came into the service. Or as part of the service, as it were, there was a prayer that we come as we are. We offer ourselves as we are. We can't come any other way. Warts and all that stuff that we are who we are. But I thought, worship, what does it mean to the unchurched? What does it actually mean? Because it's one of the distinctives as followers of Jesus Christ. It's one of those distinctives. We are called to worship the Lord in a world that increasingly is not worshipping the Lord. It's one of the, being a Christian disciple, being a follower of Jesus Christ, part of our calling is to worship the Lord. But we are called in a time, particularly to worship the Lord, in a time when although around the earth, around the planet Earth, there are more and more folk coming to the knowledge of Jesus, in the country where we are, we're called to worship in a country where perhaps less and less people are worshipping God. So it's quite alien, this thing called worship, for us to do. So if you looked in a dictionary and found worship, you'd see reverent honor and honor paid to God, the feeling or expression of reverence and adoration for God. Similar words for worship are adoration, devotion, praise, thanksgiving, praying, glorification, all sorts of words that aren't in everyday life usage, or they're not in the everyday life usage I'm around very much. So it made me start to wonder, we've got to watch what this worship is all about and really seek out what this calling is to worship. And just that last word, gladness, feeling of joy or pleasure, a willing, delighted pleasure. So the first, when we prayed earlier, I prayed that we would be ready to listen to some questions that God might have for us. And I mean us, I don't mean you alone, I mean us, all of us. So there's an worship the Lord with gladness from Psalm 100, and it's an invitation to joyfully enter into God's presence. Do you, when you worship, do you feel that invitation, and do you feel joyful as you enter into God's presence as part of worship? Do you? Because I'll confess to you, I don't always feel that way. I don't always feel that way when I come to worship. Gladness, a feeling of joy and pleasure and delight. Do you feel joy and delight and pleasure every time you come to worship God? Because I don't. Because you see, worship is not all about Sunday, you know, the great time to meet, and it's good that we do meet and strengthen each other, encourage each other, and it's good to corporately worship and praise and give thanksgiving. But of course, worship is a lifestyle. Worship is life in all its glory. And so there's times when I come to pray or when I come to experience life out there in the big wide world, that when I'm worshiping God, as I come, as I live out my life to the best of my ability, I'm going to tell you, it's no secret. My family know it, lots of people know it. I don't always feel a gladness. I don't always feel a joy. I don't always feel an adoration. But I feel and I am confident in my faith in Jesus Christ that I have permission to be that way because God knows who I am. God created me. God knows me. Psalm 139 tells me he knows me better than I know myself, which we share many times over. And so it doesn't worry me. It's just I know that this is what God wants me to be. This is how he wants me to be. This is the life he wants for me. So that encourages me. So as long as I come to worship, warts and all the stuff that we come with, all the baggage that sometimes we come with, whether I feel glad or not, whether I feel joy or not, I know that that's what God wants for me. So I feel encouraged by that. I feel strengthened by that. It motivates me. But I'm still not sure what it's about, this worship business. So we're going to try and explore that. I won't say that, no. We're going to look at chapter 12 of Romans. We're going to look at chapter 12 of Romans under the Bible I'm using, Living Sacrifices. And we're just going to look at, I wish we'd got longer, and I toyed with the, we're going to look at two verses. I toyed with the idea of just looking at one verse tonight, and maybe some other time look at something else about the second verse, or encourage you to do that. We see here a letter that Paul wrote to the church at Rome. Paul had never been to Rome, to the church at Rome. He had correspondence with them. He had messages about them. And this is about a man who, writing to a church he'd never visited, he wrote to the church at Rome. Maybe he's writing to the church of Oasis at Sawley. He's never been here either. But maybe God's got a message here for you as a church. Don't get complacent about this worship business. We can overlook some of the stuff that we can just arrive, get on with it, and go. Don't do that. You know, it's another Sunday. It's great to be in church or chapel or cathedral or meeting hall or wherever else we go. The songs were good and the prayers were good and we have a catch up and we had coffee and all sorts of stuff. Some more questions. What did we bring to worship today? What did you bring to worship today? What have I brought to worship today? How have we participated in worship today? Have we participated in worship today? Or have we just gone through the motions? This is important if we are going to go back and remember what the psalmist said. If we're going to worship the Lord with gladness, we can't just go through the motions. Because I don't know about your life, but going through the motions in my life doesn't always have gladness in it. It has one or two other bits of stuff in it. What difference has worship made to us today? Not right now, but maybe as you leave or tomorrow morning. I was particularly when I was in ministry full time, I always used to book nothing in my diary for Monday mornings, nothing at all. I either wanted to reflect on what had happened in the services on Sunday, or I wanted to go into a corner and quietly cry and wonder what on earth was going on in the services on Sunday. Sometimes I felt as if I should go to A&E to get some treatment after what had happened in the services on Sunday. All of those things. But it's important. Three questions. What did we bring to worship? How have we participated in worship? And what difference has worship made to us today? And those, you see, if we can't, we need to have a go at answering the questions. And don't burden yourself if you don't like the answers or can't find the answers, whatever. It's good. If we're going to come to worship, we've got to ask the questions, what's worship doing in our lives, you see? So don't worry about it. Work through it. Remember, Psalm 139, God knows us. He knows where we are. Knows all the details. Even the hairs on our head. He's having to remember less, as far as I'm concerned, because it's dropping out at a pace I've noticed just recently. Perhaps the more challenging questions as we get into this scripture from Paul, what could we have brought to worship today? How could we have participated? And what could worship have made? What difference could worship make to us today? So that's two positions. What has happened? And asking the question, because God wants us to grow. God wants us to move on. God wants us to progress. What has happened? What could happen? What could happen? And that's where we're going to try and find a little bit of encouragement from Paul. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. So now we're getting a little bit of a clue about what this worship business is about. Verse 2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. First verse tells us how to get into this worship, and the second verse tells us how to maintain it, because sometimes we slip around a little bit. So that's why I thought about doing this just verse one tonight. But it's the first one is how to get to this point, and two is how to maintain it. And so what we see in this, just these few scriptures, few words, what we see is, as well as it, an instruction and a definition of what this worship is about, it tells us how to actually be transformed from where we are, what has happened, and how to be transformed to where it could be, where we could move to. So it's about transformation through our worship. Transformation through our worship. So what does transformation mean? Transformation apparently has a technical term in maths, in biology. in the body. There is stuff going on. Transformation takes place with makeovers, you know, where you dress up, or you dress down, whichever way you go. You have a different hairstyle or try and make it come forward so it doesn't look as if it's going backward quite as much as it is. And you get a transformation. Most of these things, when we think of transformation, we think of the outer, you know, that which you can see, that which you can hear, that which is part of our lives as we communicate and live around each other. Our house this week, since Friday night, has been transformed almost beyond belief. Our home has been transformed since about 1 o'clock on Friday afternoon, because for the whole of the week previous, the 3-year-old, the 5-year-old, and the 6-year-old grandchildren have been to stay with us. My daughter's been in hospitals and she's home now and not doing too great. So if you could remember Samantha in your prayers, that would be really good. And so they came to, we went down when she was in hospital to look after them. And then she's come out and she's not doing too good. And now, so we've had them up here. And tomorrow we go back again because things aren't going too well. But our house has been transformed beyond belief. I can hear what my wife says. I can hear her. And we've eaten normally or whatever, however you say it. And there's no train track and there's no Lego. And I found train track in Lego in my bed and it was everywhere. But it's all physical. It's all the outer. It's that transformation. And what we've got to think about in terms of our worship, we've got to think of our transformation from the inner so that we affect what comes out. And next year, my ministry is all about the inner to the outer, about our attitudes, about our relationships. But it's all of 2018 of my ministry is going to be about transformation beyond using the Psalms. So we're going to do a little bit more than that for my ministry. So we're going to look at beyond the outer, but look at the inner. And we're going to use these words. So, therefore, I'm just going to pick some words, go through a little bit of an explanation and just encourage you. Get into this. Get into these two verses. And, you know, most ministers would recommend, I was under somebody's teaching this morning, and he offered a scripture, and this is a key, you know, put this into your life, put it, you know, and he was right, and put it into your life, it'll make a difference. Friends, this simplicity of being called to worship God, you need to understand worship. Don't overcomplicate it, just keep it simple. But these two verses will help you keep focused on worship. And that's, I wasn't called to preach. I wasn't called to be a grandfather or all those things I was called to worship God. I was called as a disciple of Jesus Christ to worship God. Anything else that comes beyond that is what it is. It's fine. It's good. But, you know, not if I'm not worshiping God. Therefore normally means something that's got, there's a conclusion. Because of everything that's gone before, do something. Well, I encourage you. Chapters 1 to 11 is what God did for mankind, what God has done for mankind, what God is doing for mankind. And so Paul is saying, you know, you've had all of this, chapters 1 to 11. Therefore, because of what's gone before, the teaching of God that has shown you what God has done for man through Jesus Christ, therefore, do something. And chapters 12 to 16 are the response. It's what mankind can do as a response to what God has done for them. Therefore, Paul says, I urge you. Well, if somebody urges you to do something, it isn't a case of, well, if you want to, do as you like, really. Make it up as you go along. Do whatever you want. It's not that when somebody is urging you to do something. He's got a passion. He's got a desire. He's got a determination. He's beseeching. He's trying. Do this. What follows, brothers. And this is the inclusivity of faith in Jesus Christ. Brothers. in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. The inclusivity of the believers. And this is for, this message was for a church. It was for believers, brothers. It was inclusive of the believers. But there's a message here for the non-believer. There's a message here for the seeker. There's a message here for those that are wanting to rekindle faith. There's a message here for wanting to, for anybody who's seeking to know more. The message is, because of God's mercy, because of what God has done for us, chapters 1 to 11, please, surely it is your desire to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Offer yourself as you are. Not dead sacrifices from the Old Testament and all, you know, the animal sacrifices, but us as a sacrifice, as a living sacrifice. This is what's on offer to the seeker. And it's holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. So let's backtrack from this is, that's good. Well, it must mean that if this is my spiritual act of worship, I've got to pay attention to this. What have I got to do? I've got to offer my body as living sacrifice. Living, here it is. As this is what I've got. This is as good as it gets, as it were. It doesn't get any worse or better than this. But because of what God's done for me, and I think of what he's done through Jesus Christ, I have to offer myself as a living sacrifice. Well, you can have me, Lord. Here I am. I'm living. Another question coming up. What sacrifice am I making? I'll tell you what sacrifice I've made tonight. I'm not watching TV for an hour because I've come to Sawley. I joke, I jest a little bit, but you know what I mean. What sacrifice has actually, what have you brought into your worship that is sacrificed today? We ask three questions. What have you brought to worship? What difference has worship brought to you? And how have you contributed? Have you sacrificed anything? Have you foregone anything? I live in a rich Western world. What have I sacrificed? I'm being brutally honest with you. I'm being brutally honest with you. I don't think I've made any sacrifice to be here. It's a pleasure to be here. It's a desire to be here. It's a willingness to be here. A sacrifice, we've got to really, really think about it. It's an offering. It's a surrender. It's something, a surrender of something that's prized. It's an offer of devotion. Something, what have I given up? My Wilfred, the eldest, 16th grandson, been with us for 6 years of age, been with us. He probably wouldn't have gone another day or two with us because I don't think him and I would have got on another day or two. Very strong-willed. I'm talking about Wilfred. Being strong-willed, yeah. He starts a new school on Wednesday. I have the pleasure, because Samantha's not well, I should be going down to take him to his new school and doing whatever. Dad's away in America and doing stuff. And so he's made some duff decisions and he had to have some consequences this week. So one of his consequences was he didn't have his 1 hour a day that is allowed on his tablet. He made a decision and he sacrificed. And that meant something to Wilfred. He knew beyond... There's a slight jest in it, but he'd done something. There was a consequence, and the sacrifice was an hour. An hour without his tablet was a sacrifice, even at 6 years of age. And he uses it wisely. He's not a bad lad in that sense. But I don't know what sacrifice I've made to be here, friends. I'm not going to ask you to shout up either. But when you get home, when considering what you could have bought to worship, what sacrifice have you bought? Because the word from Paul, if he wrote it to the church at Rome, if he's writing it to the church at Oasis in Sawley, he's asking us, he's telling us, the spiritual act of worship is to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. and they have to be holy and pleasing to God. There's another year's sermon somewhere on what is holy and pleasing to God. And some of the stuff we do in our lives isn't always holy and pleasing to God. So, some words there for us to ponder on. We work out chapters 1 to 11 what God has done for us, and we challenge straight away because of that, why would we not want to continue to offer ourselves? Two positions on this, two positions in life on this offering. Some people feel that that is the time when you make your commitment to Jesus Christ, that you make a once and for all, as it were, commitment. I'm not sure about that. I'd like to think that once I gave my life to Jesus Christ, I did make that once and for all commitment, but I was not. I'd be naive to think I managed it. I didn't manage it. I don't manage it. And so position number two is, it's a daily renewing, a setting aside, a selfless time of prayer, a time of ministry, a time of mission, a time of whatever it is. I think this sacrifice business, it's all about putting our resources at God's disposal and letting him guide us how those resources should be spent, whether it's that resource which is in our back pocket, whether it's that resource which allows us to time, if you're of an age, to go to Costa or wherever you go and have meals out. I sadly won't be able to join you because I don't qualify. Well, I do actually, but but it's putting all of our resources at God's disposal, but letting him have his free rein with it as well. So we've got to think about what those words mean to us. And we've got to, you know, I encourage you to reflect on what that actually means. What sacrifice do you give into God's life? Do you give your TV up? I don't know, whatever you do. What do you forfeit? What do you forego? What do you surrender? What do you yield? What do you actually part with? Reflect on what sacrifice in our living out of our discipleship is really about. So let's look at verse 2. This is how to maintain, if we could get to that point of verse 1, this is how to maintain that way of life, that worshipping way of life. This is where this transformation comes in. This is the movement of what is to what could be. Do not conform any longer, because there's an acknowledgement here, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. Another picture of how it was before we gave our lives to Jesus Christ, the darkness and all that it was, I've told you before, the sinful life that it was, that I enjoyed in my life. I really enjoyed quite a lot of that sinful life. Because I didn't know any better. It was all right. There's nothing, you know, it's kiddom if you think you can't actually verbalize that, because God knows that anyway, and other people. So that which was darkness and that which has moved into the light of Jesus Christ, however flicker it might be in that darkness, it's like a transformation. But that transformation continues in our life, in our work, in our worship, and in our life of worship. Do not conform any longer to the matter. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And this is it, friends. You know, I think I said it last time here, or if I didn't, it doesn't really matter. But, I don't actually know what's in your mind. It's a worry, isn't it? Anyway, I don't actually know what's in your mind. Perhaps it's better that I don't know what's in your mind. But for us as followers of Jesus Christ, for our discipleship and for our worship, all that we've talked about, this is where it's all going to go successfully, from what is to what could be, or this is where it's all going to go a little bit awry for us. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I live my life out in Baptist churches normally in terms of where I was taught and where I was nurtured. Baptists and no Pentecostals and Methodists, we're all non-conformists. We don't conform to that which is the Church of England, and that's how it, where it all came from. Do not conform to the pattern of the world. You see, outwardly, you may or may not, I don't know, you may or may not think outwardly whether I do or do not conform to the pattern of the world. You may recognize things in people's lives and you think, hey, they're good guys or good ladies. Well, they look at what they are. Look at what that is which is going on in their lives. They're good people. Of course, but none of us know what we're thinking. You know, I might be very, very jealous of my next-door neighbour's Range Rover. Well, that's in the mind. I don't actually verbalise it much. but when I'm jealous or covet something that somebody else has got, I need to renew my mind, you see, because that's not good worship. That's not good way of life. Okay, it could be, you know, I talk about my grandchildren and I am exceedingly righteously proud of them. Righteously in the sense I'm proud of who they are, what they are, and all of those things. But, you know, pride can take us to different places. You know, I might think, believe me, it's not a case. I might think I'm a brilliant preacher, but that doesn't crop up very much. But if I did, this is pride that can take you to a certain place that is not good. So it's back down to this inner that brings to the outer. You need to make an effort. We all need to make an effort to get rid of and move out of the mindset of the world. We need to be right-minded in order to have our right relationship with God. If we're going to have a right relationship, a righteous relationship, a right relationship, then we need to be right-minded. Right-minded. The mind, you know, it needs discipline. And we need to think of obedience and we need to think of submission. And friends, these are hard words in the world today. Discipline, obedience and submission. Wilfred, do as you're told. But, you know, obey me. Discipline, do it. And surrender, whatever your grandpa says, do it. And if I did, even at six, Wilfred would let me know how he felt about that. There would be a rebellion. There would be a rebellion. And then in our walk with God, we've got to think about that because we can rebel as well. You know, we can be, I'm not suggesting there's anybody, we can be selfish, stubborn, arrogant people. Not us, of course. I mean, I'm talking somebody else, you understand. Not us. Not us. Anyway, but in our life, as we follow Jesus Christ, and through the love of God that gave Jesus Christ and his life for us, and through the Holy Spirit, we need to renew, we need to re-educate, we need to be redirected in this renewal of our minds in order to achieve a transformation. If you want to talk about it, you know, it needs the Holy Spirit. And fortunately, God worked it out for us, because in the same letter in chapter 8 of Romans, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And there is a whole chapter on the life of the Spirit and the transformation that the Spirit brings into our life. And therefore the transformation through the renewal of our mind, the transformation of the difference it can make to our worship. What is to what could be in our worship. So chapter 8 has got loads of stuff for us to look at there. So a quick walk around a couple of verses, prompted by a word called worship, prompted by a word gladness. You know, I don't know how you feel about transformation, the makeovers. I don't know how you feel about gladness. I don't know. Maybe you live a gladder life than I do. I don't know. More joy in your life. I don't know. But, you know, sometimes hardships come against us, and we need to manage them. and we need to manage them and through the renewal, not conforming to the world, transforming and by the renewal of our minds. And then, it is then that we'll be able to test and approve what God is, God's will is, his good and pleasing perfect will for each one of us, the way he wants it to be. You see, wherever he is, wherever we are today, he wants us to be somewhere else. He wants us to be making progress. He wants us to grow. He wants us to be closer. He wants us to be nearer to him. He wants us to understand more. He wants us to encourage more. He wants us to mission more. But it all flows from our worshipping of God, worship, offering ourselves to worship God. So two really good words are coming up. Are you ready? In closing. That means it's getting towards the end. In closing, four ways to consider this what we've done tonight. We've got to offer ourselves. So we've got to, are you ready? Present. It's a case of presentation. Present ourselves to God. So, and if we're going to do that, it's a doing word. It's not a passive sitting down. Yeah, that's okay. We've got to do something. And then we've got to, because we're no longer to conform with the world, with the worldly ways. So we've got to present, do it. We've got to separate ourselves. We've got to avoid conforming to the worldly ways. And it won't come easy. It takes discipline. It takes surrender. It takes obedience. So in separation, it's another doing word. That's two doing words. We're going to be exhausted by the end of the night because there's a lot of doing to be done. And then there is the transformation, presentation, separation, transformation by the renewing of our minds. And it takes discipline, it takes time, it takes effort. It takes some doing to be done. And then when you've got past that, the easy bit, the demonstration, the proof of the pudding, of course, is in the eating. It's what it shows. It's what comes out of our mouths. It's our attitudes. It's our relationships, which is all about what I'm going to be studying and researching and getting ready for next 2018's ministry. It's all about how we the proof of the pudding, the living out. But for it to happen, we've not got to be passive disciples. We've not got to be passive seekers. We've got to be active. We are called to worship God in a world that is less and less worshiping God. I believe sincerely, categorically, I believe the more worship we do, the more worshiping will be done. The more worship we do, and the more we know of God's good plan and purposes for our lives and what he's calling us to do and what he wants us to do, then the more we will be encouraged to do. The more we are out there in the big wide world or with our families, with our friends, with our workmates, visiting Costa. Do you get discount? You must get discount at the rate you go to Costa. I don't know. It seems anyway. The more we do, I'm sure the more people will hear of Jesus Christ. The more people hear of Jesus Christ, the more worshipping will be being worshipped. So we can be transformed to help other people be transformed. Let's pray. Father God, give us, just help us. Help us with what we need to do to make sense of your word. Not the stuff that's come, as it were, from me, the anecdotal stuff, but the word that Paul wrote to that church, the word that the psalmist wrote, that we should worship the Lord with gladness, that we should, because of what God has done for us, look at what we do in response. Help us, Lord, with our transformation. Help us with our presentation. Help us with our separation. And help us, we pray, in our demonstration. Amen.